podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
You all know the story of Daniel in the lion's den. You've been taught that since you were a little child. The question is this: how did Daniel end up in the lion's den? How did Daniel end up in the lion's den? Some of you are saying, well, he prayed. He prayed. But to be more specific, he ended up in the lion's den because of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. In fact, look at this passage, Daniel chapter 6 and verse 8. It says, "Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before." That's kind of the key to the whole passage, right? The key to the whole passage is this: that the thing that got Daniel in trouble, the thing that landed him in the lion's den, was his success and the jealousy of those around him. And then in addition to that, his willingness to continue to praise God and pray and give thanks every single day, just as he always did. It didn't change. Just as he had done before, he continued. Imagine all throughout his life, Daniel had this practice three times a day of giving thanks. Now imagine how rich our lives would be if we were to follow that same practice. And to spend time in dedicated prayers of praise and thanksgiving to God three times a day, what a difference that would make in our lives. There are a lot of things that we do regularly as human beings, right? I mean, we brush our teeth after every meal, don't we, right? And floss and all of that. Right? We maintain all sorts of areas of our life. But how about that? To get down on your knees and to give thanks three times a day, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of what's happening in your life. And that's the story of Daniel. And so I want to read it to you from Daniel chapter 6. And you can follow along if you want, or you can just listen to the story. You've heard it before. Daniel chapter 6. And so look at the flow of what happens to Daniel throughout this whole time, but recognize that throughout it all, he is giving thanks to God. "It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with three chief ministers over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the chief ministers and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom." See, the cream always rises to the top. "At this, the chief ministers and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, 'We'll never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God.'" Yeah, we'll get him. He's a religious man. We'll figure out a way to get him. "So these chief ministers and satraps went as a group to the king and said, 'May King Darius live forever and ever. The royal ministers, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the laws of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed.' So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. 'Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or human being, except to you, your majesty, would be thrown into the lion's den?' The king answered, The decree stands in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. Then they said to the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, your majesty, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day. When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sunset to save him. Then the men went as a group to King Darius and said to him, Remember, your majesty, that according to the law of the Medes and Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed. So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. No Netflix and chill for the king. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? Daniel answered, May the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. At the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den, along with their wives and children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Then King Darius wrote to all the nations and peoples of every language in all the earth, May you prosper greatly. Issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. So there's the story for you in living color. And here's what we have to say about that this morning. First of all, Daniel, we know, distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps and all of the leadership because he was a good leader. Because he was good at his job, he became famous among all of the leaders. And the king began to see that this was a man who was very important within his administration. So here's a picture of the Persian government. You can call this the Persian swamp if you want. You see King Darius at the very top. Three administrators below him, and 120 satraps below them, and then there's governors and other people below them, and then eventually you get to the average people. This was a picture of the organizational flow of the Persian government according to Daniel chapter 6. Well, Daniel was one of those three administrators, and he kept doing better job and a better job than all of the rest. And so eventually what happened was, Daniel, King Darius, wanted to place Daniel in a position of authority over those administrators. He said, you know, this would be a great thing. Here's a good leader. This will give me a lot more downtime if I can just put him in charge of everybody and I can just sit back and be the figurehead and he can do all the work. So I'll put Daniel in charge and we'll have three administrators under him, all the satraps and the governors and all of the other people, and we will have a plan for world domination, because we have the right man in the position. Well, as always takes place when you promote somebody in government, people began to get jealous that were beneath him. Some of the satraps were saying, why him? Why not me? Some of the administrators were saying, look, there were only three of us. I don't think Daniel's doing a better job than me. And so they felt threatened by Daniel and his presence. And so they came up with this plan that we just read about. that Daniel might end up in the lion's den. And the only way they could think of to get him was to set a trap whereby if he did not worship King Darius and he worshiped another god, who they very well knew he would be worshiping, a god named Jehovah, the god of his people Israel. Remember, the people of Israel are in exile now in Babylon and Persia. And Daniel is one of those who had been exiled from his home. But now he's had the opportunity to rise to the top. We recognize that Daniel was a very successful man. And so our first point is this: in success, give thanks, because it sustains humility. Right, Daniel became very, very influential in the Persian government. And even the king himself recognized it and said, he's going to be my right-hand man. So what does Daniel do at that point? Does he stop giving thanks because he's reached the place that he was hoping to reach? No, the passage says that every day, three times a day, he gives thanks to God. So he doesn't rest on his laurels and say, well, now I've got everything I want, and now I've risen to the place that I want to be at, so now I can stop giving thanks. No, he continues to give thanks no matter the circumstance. You see, you need to continue to give thanks in your life, regardless of the level of success that you reach, regardless that you have gotten to the point where all of your dreams have now come true. Daniel realizes that he would not be in the position he is in were it not for God and his leadership. He remembers the good old days when he was first brought to Babylon, and he decided, though he were seated at the king's table, that he would not eat the king's food, but he and the Hebrew men that he was with would eat only the kosher food. They would only exist on the diet that they had chosen. And that even throughout that time, God was blessing them and making them stronger and smarter and wiser with more abilities. He remembers that it was God who has helped him to reach the level of success that he is at. And so he remains humble and he continues to give thanks. The people of Israel were not always known for this. If you read in the Old Testament, it seems like whenever the people of Israel arrived at a place of wealth and prominence, whenever the kingdom was large and there was peace, they began to think that maybe they had arrived at that point on their own. And they began to worship the very things, the very benefits of their success. And that's the danger that we run against whenever we are successful in life. We begin to thank ourselves and we begin to worship the things, the items of our success. Daniel would not stand for that. He continues to give thanks and he continues to remain humble. So we also read in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 4, it says, at this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. So in success, give thanks because it sustains humility, but also in strife, give thanks because it sparks hope. It sparks hope. So we read that Daniel, even in the midst of this threat of the lion's den, even though he knows that this whole plot has been set in order to ensnare him, he continues to give thanks to God. Even in the midst of that strife and trouble and all of that discord, he continues to give thanks because it gives him hope to do so. And so recognize that when you encounter strife in your world, when you encounter crisis and difficulty, when it seems like everybody is out to get you, when things aren't going the way that you had planned, as in Daniel's life, give thanks anyway, because it sparks hope within you. It gives you a reason to look forward. It reminds you who's in charge and what he is capable of. So in strife, give thanks because it sparks hope. Daniel chapter 6, starting with verse 16, says, so the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel. They threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. A stone is brought, placed over the mouth of the den. The king seals it with his signet ring and the rings of his nobles so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. There was no way that Daniel was going to escape the lion's den. So in success, we should give thanks because it sustains our humility. In strife, we should give thanks because it sparks hope. In struggle, we should give thanks because it strengthens heart. Now, what do you think Daniel was doing when he was in the lion's den? Was he panicking and screaming and running in circles, trying to defend himself from these angry, hungry lions? Was he sitting next to the lions, petting them and enjoying their presence? Was he yanking on their manes and saying, "I got you now"? No. Was he wrestling lions? What was he doing with those lions? Somebody already said it. He's praising God. He's praying. He's asking for God's help. He's thanking God. So in your times of struggle, even in the lion's den of your life, give thanks, because it gives you courage in those moments. Daniel chapter 6, starting with verse 25, we read, King Darius wrote to all the nations and the peoples of every language and all the earth, "May you prosper greatly." Now, what does this king do? This is the king of Persia, right? The most powerful king on the face of the earth at that time. They had defeated all of the other kingdoms of the earth, and they were in charge. They had the biggest army, the biggest nuclear program, all that stuff. Nobody was going to come against the Persian government. So King Darius writes to all the nations of the peoples of every language. He tweets so everybody can read it. And he says this decree: "We will now fear and reverence the God of Daniel. He is the living God. He endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues, he saves, he performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He rescued Daniel from the power of the lion." What King Darius is saying is this: look, I know for 30 days y'all were said that you had to worship me. I don't want that worship anymore. That worship belongs with the God of Daniel, not with me. So worship the God of Daniel from now on because of what he has done. So in our successful times, we give thanks because it sustains humility. In strife, in arguments, we give thanks because it sparks hope. In struggle, we give thanks because it strengthens heart. And in salvation, we give thanks because it solicits hallelujahs. Do you notice that about Daniel? When he is giving thanks to God in his time of success and salvation, when he has been rescued from the lion's den and he attributes that to the Lord and gives thanks to God, what happens as a result of that? Well, the king catches on. And now he is praising God. Now he is giving hallelujahs. And he recognizes the authority of God. And he calls the people to worship him. So I hope you see that throughout Scripture, we notice this. That whenever God's people worship God and succeed and continue to worship God, that the peoples around them take note and they worship God too. Can we get in on this? Can we worship your God, Daniel? We've seen what he did. We've seen what he's capable of. We want to worship him too. And so when God's people give thanks, it causes others, some who may not even know him, to give thanks. So in your salvation, give thanks because it solicits hallelujahs from those around you. They will recognize our God. So this week, as you celebrate Thanksgiving, I want to draw your attention to how important Thanksgiving is, not just at this time of the year, but every single day of your life, maybe three times a day, in order to keep you humble, in order to keep you hopeful, in order to give you heart and courage, and in order that others might give God hallelujah. That your giving of thanks matters that much in your life and to the lives of those around you. So never stop giving thanks. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and for the opportunity that we've had this morning to express our gratitude to you. Keep it flowing, Lord. I pray that we would continue to give thanks to you throughout this week as we gather with friends and family over food. But also, Lord, throughout our lives, no matter what we find ourselves dealing with, Lord, help us to learn how to give thanks. And may it become a practice in our lives that yields great benefits. And may you be lifted above all. May your name be lifted above all names, O Lord. May our gratitude to you be seen by even those who don't know you to the point where they can't help but recognize who you are. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.